Once again, Emma Hamill, welcome to The Honest Truth. Wonderful to be able to chat to you. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing really well today, thank you.
That's good to hear. This evening on The Honest Truth, we're talking about matriculants, and in particular, a few of the challenges facing matriculants. Already grade 12 is a pressurized year. It's not a full academic year. If one has to calculate it, it's probably about 6-7 months in total of teaching time before they let out into the open world to follow their dreams, to follow their goals. And for many, it's exciting. For some, it can certainly be very, very apprehensive and anxious, because what to do with the rest of your life? How does one deal with that when confronting these seemingly big questions? Emma?
And hopefully by the time they've finished their matric, they're ready for some time out. I think that's probably the most important part. As you rightly said, I think most of this year will have been about studying. And yes, it is a very daunting task. And I think we can actually take it through by literally just taking time out and reflecting. And actually, you know, something that you need to have some fun for a while. So we tend to, in life, we just tend to be on this, you know, study treadmill, and we just don't stop. And actually, it's really nice for them actually just to take some time out.
Would you recommend that, in fact, and not for matriculants to immediately after the year to jump into some form of tertiary study, but to actually take a bit of time off, maybe if they have the opportunity to travel a bit and to see the world, just a bit of space to see if what they want to do is really what they want to do?
Yeah, I do. And that's really where we are, the group of us are actually coming from, is to actually make people understand, or these young adults actually, that life is for the taking, and there's so much out there. And I think we know what we want to do when we are, you know, growing up, and we have all these ideas about what it's going to be like. And it's really just taking that on board and embracing it. And absolutely, if we have the opportunity to take time out, even, to be honest, even if it's 6 weeks, you know, if it's only 6 weeks that we can do that, you know, really to reflect this, you know, this next stage in our lives, because it's a biggie.
It certainly is a biggie. And I like the fact that you mentioned that, look, if you can't take the entire year off, because it may not be a practical step. The one doesn't know the family's circumstance and situation, but certainly one can adapt it to a couple of weeks, just some sort of breathing space as you transition from one stage of your life to a next. And seemingly, I think what also makes it such a big step is that it's such a huge learning curve, from being a scholar to being a student, for example, and you are only responsible for yourself. No one's going to be behind you with a whip and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. You're entirely left on your own. Yes, mom and dad may say one or two things if they are still funding your tertiary studies, but essentially, you are out in the world.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that. I mean, I'm not sure what it was like when you left school, but mine was many, many years ago. I think I'm looking at about 30 years ago, and I actually didn't have a clue what I wanted to do. I was, you know, luckily the university wasn't part of my plan. It wasn't necessarily pushed in my day, which actually took the pressure off quite a bit. And, you know, I went and studied business studies. So I just thought, you know, I don't really know which way I want to go, and it seemed to be the right way, because it kind of delved into everything and dipped and dived. So I've actually been very lucky. And some of these kids right now, I've actually got zero idea of what they want to do. Some of them are pressurized, they have to go off to varsity, you know, and some people are just not cut out for that either. So, I really do think these youngsters need to just be given a break a little bit, and, you know, just reevaluate their lives from, a good starting point.
You're listening to The Honest Truth here on Smile 90.4 FM. We're in conversation with Emma Hamill. Remember, you can find out a whole lot more, possibly get hold of her, emmahamill.co.za. We're talking matriculants, very difficult time, exciting time, certainly too, for the learners who are about to embark on the rest of their life's journey. But Emma, you were mentioning that there are those that just simply do not have any idea what to do. In fact, it's fairly normal to feel that way. How does one go about navigating that particular anxiety?
Well, you know, we're faced with, the technological revolution at the moment. And for me, a starting point is to actually think about the three questions, really. It's what do you enjoy? What are you good at? And where do you, what do you love doing? Because if we look at those and we see that there's a common theme going on there, then that could actually be a really good pointer as what we can do for the rest of our lives. Quite an interesting experience for me when I was a child is I was quite a youngster, and one of my school reports came back and said, if only Emma spent more time on her schoolwork than she did on other people, she'd be doing really well. And it was frowned upon then, yet you look back into my adult life, and my adult life is about people. You know, I absolutely always wanted to understand what made people tick. And had I gone into that a lot earlier, it probably would have been, a lot better for me. So what is it that people have got an ability? Where are their talents? What are they good at? And that's usually a really good starting point.
How does one go about finding what one is good at? Because you may not even be aware about your hidden talents and abilities.
Well, I think take a look at what you're interested in. The biggest one we can actually do is where do I procrastinate? And actually, that can stand for anybody in life. What is it that you enjoy doing in the times that you're not just doing it? what studies? What are you looking at? What are you looking at online? Where does your focus go? I've got a lovely client at the moment. He's in his early teens, and I've challenged him to do more reading. And I said, you love soccer, so go and find a soccer book to read. And it's taking a look at what are the things that you fall back on when you're supposed to be doing other things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's actually quite a good place.
Got an SMS here from Tina 35904, Emma, who wants to know, saying that her child, Brandon, has become very quiet, which is very unusual, very talkative, but for the last 3-4 months has become very, very quiet. What can she do, asks Tina.
God, what can she do? Sometimes it really, even if it's just to find somebody that they can talk to that doesn't involve parents and actually is somebody outside. And a lot of times it really shouldn't be family. So is there a close friend? Finding somebody in a safe place, really, a safe place for the child to go and talk to that they can trust and open up. So, I have clients like that. And children tend to open up to strangers that they feel safe with. Somebody that could be a coach or a counsellor, I think, is a nice place to start. And there's always help out there. It could be somebody, an extended family member that we trust. So, if they don't have one of those, then take a look around and see what's available to them, in other areas, really.
Self-esteem is often a concern for matriculants, for young people. And it's understandable as well, with so much influences around the world. How does one overcome that or possibly manage that so that you are, once you're leaving school, able to follow those dreams?
Yeah, self-esteem, I think, is massive at the moment. I mean, we look at social media, and the sad part for me is that there's a huge pressure on children to be something that actually they're not, because even what's going on social media doesn't exist either. So it's really getting people to understand what's real. And how many likes they get on Snapchat or Instagram photographs. And, it's most of the time these things don't even exist. And I just think it's just terribly sad. And, Back in our day, life was all about going cycling and hanging out with our friends and everything else. And these days, it's becoming a lot more insular. So, with my daughter, for instance, we sit and we play card games or we play Ludo, or it's to get that social interaction and really build them up. When she goes and wins at something, and it's taking people back to basics again and socializing. I think it's getting people to these kids to take part in life again, rather than it just always being about being on the phone and feeling bad about who they're not and who they can't be.
Paradoxically, the connectedness and the connected world that we're in often leads to people experiencing big forms of isolation. Could this be the case, particularly with youngsters, and impacting on their self-esteem in that way?
Absolutely. I think this is. We've got more to come of this. Actually, I think in the next few years, children as young as 11, you know, as they're moving into their late teens, I think this is going to become a huge thing for them. And you know, we really do need to be. And there's a responsibility, I think, for all of us now, for parents, for extended families, for people like myself, to be literally working with these kids to help them to understand how, just how phenomenal they actually are, and because they're not going to get it from social media.
Yeah.
I really do feel very strongly about that. And I just watch my daughter, as I said, and her downer sometimes, who doesn't get enough likes on Snapchat. You know, it suddenly means I'm fat or nobody likes me anymore, and that's not the truth. I think we've got more of this to come.
How, in your experience, Emma, are the schools taking this up at all? I know there's life orientation, which is one of the school going subjects. Do they actually explore social media and link that to self-esteem and how one can manage that in a productive and wholesome, healthy way?
I think some of the schools are. I'm not sure about all of them.
Yeah.
They are doing that, and which is fantastic. And they're actually they're educating the parents, actually, so which is brilliant as well. And there are definitely courses around, workshops around for these kids that, you know, does absolutely talks on that level. And Bella's just finished one now down here in Claremont, which has been amazing for her. So there definitely are. Even for the younger kids now, I mean, a lot of young children now are receiving smartphones, and they're given this mini computer, and they can do anything they want. Mm. So it's, yeah, you know, we've got these kids in our hand now, and it's about steering them in the right direction, because they don't have the discernment of what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing. You know, they are not in control of their emotions particularly well, and they could be doing all sorts of things that, you know, would make our hair stand on end, I think. So yes, I think there certainly is, and I know even for the older children, you know, even the 14, 15 year olds now, there's a massive pressure on them at the moment, because as adults we say to them, oh, this is the best time of your life, enjoy it, and they're looking at lives going, well, actually my life is rubbish, so if this is the best time, then what have I got to look forward to? And it's a terrible thing to put on a child, because actually we're looking at it in hindsight.
Yeah.
We're saying, now, you know, we've got responsibility now. You don't have any at the moment, so enjoy that. But that doesn't mean anything. So, you know, really as adults, I think, and as parents and influencers, we've just got to be very careful about the language we're using in front of these young teenagers, these young children, that, or young adults, actually, to make sure that they don't get the wrong message.
And worryingly as well, and I've picked it up in various reports, Emma, is that there seems to be a disturbing trend about young people taking their own lives.
Yeah, now, interestingly, I actually belong to a business network on them, and one of the ladies there has been talking to me about that. Something that her daughter's experiencing in her year of school, and they're 14 years old, and these girls are saying, actually, I've got nothing to live for, and I just, makes me want to cry, actually. So they've actually got everything to live for, but right now they can't see what it is, and they do need something, just something to give them hope. It's all about hope at the moment.
And how do we provide them hope? Because for a 14-year-old to say they've got nothing to live for.
Yeah.
Oh, that takes the wind out of your sails, actually.
Benita, this is very real. This is absolutely happening with these kids at the moment. And I don't know whether the teachers are aware of it, whether the schools are aware of it. This is talk between friends. And I actually wanted to cry when I heard it, because, yeah, it's just awful. But, you know, that it's back down to self-worth, self-esteem. As I said, pressures from our parents that say, you know, enjoy your time while you've got it, because, you know, when you're tied down to a job, you're not going to have so much fun anymore. And they're not having fun already. They don't even understand what that means. So, yeah, terrible. I mean, I'm working with another lady, Trudy Johnston, who's based in Edgemead, and she's doing a huge amount of work on career guidance for teenagers. And we're putting some workshops together, and, you know, at the moment we're focusing on matriculants, but this is we're now actually looking to at this group of 14-year-olds to see where we can take them. And I think there needs to be more of us on board, actually.
Where to from here then for mum and dad? Is it a case of really being a part of your child's life? Not to be intrusive, but just to be very, very aware about what is going on, particularly in the social media front, to be aware of the network of friends, to encourage the friends to come to home, to meet the friends, and also to facilitate and to provide a space where there's constant communication. Could that be a good starting point, Emma?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, that's just, you just nailed it. You know, children love boundaries. When I say they love boundaries, maybe I should rephrase that. Children want boundaries. And when they don't have the boundaries in place, they don't feel secure. We know that. As adults, we understand that, what we should do. So for them to get given a set of rules that they can push back against, and we all know that teens love pushing back, is incredibly healthy for them. And I think with social media, you know, I think really the sad part for me with anybody at the moment is, well, you've got your phone, you go off and go and do what you want to do, I'm going to do something else. And we seem to have lost our way a little bit. I think we actually need to get the balance back. We don't need to be interfering, but I think to say to a child, you know, when they come home from school, please leave your phone in your bedroom for a while. Let's, you know, let's connect, let's make dinner together, let's have some fun, let's play a game. And not just automatically have them skulking off and going off and doing stuff that we actually have got no idea what they're doing. There's software that you can put on phones and on iPads that can monitor what they are doing. So maybe a little bit of regulation is good, but I think, you know, keeping the channels open. I found a fantastic video on Facebook a few months ago of a lady who had shown the real truth on a magazine on what it really, the person really looks like before they've even started on these images and how they're actually changed. And my daughter was absolutely gobsmacked. And I actually wish that I'm going to go and find it again, actually, and put it up on my website, because this was incredible. They actually admit it, that in magazines they have torsos that have been digitally created. They're not even real torsos. Yet these children are trying to be like these people that don't even exist. So I think if we can show them more of this, then they can actually really understand that to be who they are is the best anybody could ever wish for.
The voice there of soul coach Emma Hamill in conversation with me on The Honest Truth this evening. In fact, Emma's going to be conducting a series of workshops which will touch on providing guidance and life skills this in December, specifically targeted at teens and the school leavers. Definitely moms and dads and carers will certainly benefit as well. You can see all of the details on our website, emmahamill.co.za.